This is part one of this podcast. What's happening, people? And thank you for listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast. This podcast is out every single Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and wherever else you stream your podcasts. It's also out on YouTube on Tuesdays at 7:30. If you are listening on Spotify, partake in the polls, leave a comment. We've also got an additional episode which comes out every single Wednesday where we read out your comments on Spotify. So if you do want to leave a comment and you want it to be read out, you have until the following Tuesday at 6 p.m. So the podcast drops on Friday. You have until the following Tuesday at 6 p.m. to leave your comments if you want it to be read out. Anyway, enjoy the episode and follow us on the socials, the TikTok, the Instagram, the Twitter. Or is it the X now? Me na nua. But yeah, enjoy the episode. Is it recording?
Yeah.
We'll just cut it out.
But because, hey, this will get out something.
You know what it looks like? You know, you're like, woo, jokes, in it? Just fucking with you. I was just fucking with you, right? Oh, mess up, we got bear jokes, in it? I know you're listening, babes. I love you.
Happy birthday.
I love you.
You are now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marv Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser fucking Black.
All right, let's start.
Just like that. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, we do intro, but like sometimes we just warm into the convo, and then as we're warming in, we just start. You know what I'm saying?
I like that too.
So, what's happening, people? Welcome to another episode of the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with myself, Marvin Abbey. Who's we got in the studio?
Taser Black.
And we've got a very, very special guest.
I can't lie, you keep saying special guest. This one's different type of special, man.
No, I don't even know how to even...
This is royalty, man.
Yeah, I don't even know how to even... what's the word I'm looking for? Introduce this guest. Because growing up, I knew of man. I didn't know man, I knew of man. And obviously, I knew a lot of people around him as well. But we never actually met during that period. It's mad. But he was the beacon for Northwest in East.
So you can imagine me.
Because we didn't know about Northwest and East.
Rude.
Because remember, no, in them days, it wasn't like the new gen now that they see everything on their phones.
Yeah.
If you lived in East, that's all you saw. If you lived in South, that's all you saw. If you lived in Northwest, that's all you saw. So, but then Graham kind of like made man know about other areas, but it was mainly East.
Mm.
But anyway, I digress because the intro is just, people think, who is it? The man himself, Bashy, what's going on, brother?
Yes, bro. Big up. It's a big intro there, I appreciate it.
Come on.
I didn't even get to see my piece. So from my perspective, growing up, I'm looking outside the window, I'm seeing all the man them on the block, whatever, they're listening to what they're listening to. But I always gravitated to Bashy. Like, you were just the guy that I wanted. In fact, when I started even doing music for a bit, it was more to do with, I want to go wherever you've gone. Everyone in the ends was just in the ends. But you, for some reason, you had this thing where I'm not just staying in the ends. I want to go out. I want to be known elsewhere. You just had it about him, innit? And even the way you were rapping as well, it was different. It wasn't, I don't know what the right word is, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm the man like this and I'm the man like
that.
It was different.
You tell.
Even when you kind of took a break and then you came back, for example, this is me fast forwarding, but you came back and you jumped on your F64. Hmm. Even then, I'm still like, yo, this guy's... If he wanted to, he's spinning a lot of... Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, as a kid growing up, you were someone that I looked up to. And when I found out you were family with someone that I'm family with, essentially, I was like, oh, yeah, this is my guy, man. But yeah, Bashy.
It's mad, though, because Bashy one of the only people from that Grime era that was ahead of his time. It was him, Kano, I say Wretch, that were like... Maybe, what's his name as well? Merkston as well. Like, they weren't just trying to do, as you said, the one word. It was just, there was something else to it. But a lot of us didn't understand it at that time, you know.
Mm.
Man wanted to hear this soul.
Yeah.
This soul. When you're on the rave, you're like, I want to hear this. But when you're getting older, you're like, right, you know what? It was dope though, still.
What was it like for you then?
Back then?
Yeah.
Especially being from a man from at the ends coming to East.
I was going to say that was a big intro. That was proper. That's a proper intro.
Well, better than my one, yeah.
No, that time there, man, it was foundational moments, you know, that like in the moment when you're doing it and you're living that sort of life and you're on that journey, you're not really realizing what you're doing.
Mm.
You're more just doing this out of passion. Whereas now, I think people can do it out of passion, but at that time, there wasn't even much money. So it was really for the love of music and the love of being creative and writing lyrics. And yeah, and just, yeah, making music and just going on that creative journey. At the same time as that, I was going to the Brit School as well for performing arts, focusing on acting. So I had those two passions running.
At the same time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At the same time.
I was going to say that because when I was reading up, I was like, wait, I saw Brit School and I was like, wait, when was this?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking at all them times. That's mad though. You know, especially with them brothers. You know them brothers, yeah, that like, you're out late at night, both of you, and you got a test in the morning. And man's like, oh my, we'll be all right.
He's revising.
He's revised on the
night. Nah, I never told that.
He's revised, you get me?
I never told, man.
The thing, and man's seeing E plus. Man, she's there, A plus. Man said, we were out together though. Man said, listen, you get me? Brits caught the same time, you know, as Eskimo dance.
No, that's a real thing. Man was going to Eskimo dance, born maybe whenever that was, Friday night. Yeah. And then Monday morning, Brit School.
That's sick though.
I had no idea, bro. Yeah.
So acting was always a passion.
First. From a little kid. What it was, my mum, she like was really shy when she was growing up. So she said that what she told me was that when she had kids, she wanted them to be more confident. She was young, young mum, and she thought at the time when she actually thought, oh, maybe I'll put my kids into like a little drama class and then it will give them maybe like a confidence and they'll be around other like confident kids. So then that's stemmed from my mum. Yeah, but you going back to that where you were saying, what was the time like? Dangerous as well. Like it was a bag in time, but just like, really, man, we're kids, like 16. Yeah, 16, 17, 18, going to these like mad places. I was driving at 17 as well. So then I was driving up to Milton Keynes, driving up to Birmingham, driving up to Wolves, performing in the dance, Sidewinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sidewinder, early Sidewinders. Yeah, man was like 16, 17, just going there.
Did you ever have moments where you felt misunderstood?
Yeah, yeah. I always had moments where I felt misunderstood because I felt like I was always the average kid, like not this rude boy, not tough, not gangster, not a bad man, just like, but from the ends and grew up around everyone and saw everything, but that just wasn't my journey. And I didn't really want to portray that as my, and I had moments when maybe I was probably a bit insecure and I was trying to like dabble in it, but it just, that coat never really fit me properly.
I think that's how I can relate. I can hear it in your music where it's like you're not coming across like I'm the bad man, but I'm not an idiot at the same time.
Yeah,
it felt like that. I felt like that. I didn't have big brothers when I was growing up.
Me neither.
Everyone else had big brothers.
Yeah.
It's like if I threw a bit of cheek here, I'm calling my big brother. Whereas I have to stand on my own 2 feet.
So you have to step steady in that scenario.
Yeah.
Ain't no one coming to save you still.
Yeah.
So then because of that, you now learn how to speak to people a certain way. So you let them know, listen, I'm not an idiot at the same time, but I'm not going to take disrespect. So it was that kind of vibe. I got that for your music.
Yeah, I just wasn't that. But I grew up in like a, I would say like a tough area. I grew up in Northwest London, you know, like Kensal Green, Harsden. Yeah, I've started my life on Brunel Estate. That's where I first lived, which is Westbourne Park. But so I was around it, but bruv, I was just going to school. I wanted to act. I wanted to be in it. Just create. Let's create music and like tell stories. That was my main thing.
Mm.
And yeah, so I just focused on that from early. I was doing that in school. I went to school in Harsden. So like I was really in these
environments.
What do you think caused that though? Because you got three guys in this room that had a similar mindset that were around certain things, but what was it that made you, because I had so many friends who were cool in year seven, then by the time they got to year nine, year 10, hanging around the wrong people, they've changed. Mm. Then maybe I'm not friends with them no more because you're keeping up with what I don't want to keep up with. But what was it that stopped you from keeping up? Like for me, it was football. I used to play football all the time.
Okay.
So that was my kind of outlet where like, if I want to go pro, I want to do certain things. I can't be doing certain things. Mm. So was it acting for you? Yeah. Was it just your mum? Was it a voice in your head?
Yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, a bit of both. So like, always wanted to be an actor and, and do music. So I think where other people may have had the time, right? Because I think a lot of it.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's true.
My time and effort was focused into music and acting, right? Yours was focused into football. Yeah. And other people got other passions, right? Some person might do boxing.
Yeah.
They had a few boxers grow up in the area as well. So I think people focused their time that way.
No.
And then my dad was around as well. Like my mum, both my parents growing up in the house together. So I was... Yeah, man, I got to give thanks to my dad as well. Like, he was, like, guiding me and telling me things. And he was, to be honest, like, at the time, my dad was telling me things like, yo, you need to, you shouldn't really be hanging around that friend there. You got to watch that friend there. Watch this one there. And you're just like,
as a kid,
whatever, man. That's my bread.
Should have stopped my fun, man.
Yeah, man, that's my guy we're talking about. You get me? Until a man sends, like, please do, or just whatever, does something crazy, you think. Wow, actually, my dad was right. So even looking back now as an adult, and I look back at some of the life lessons that my dad gave me, I've got to be thankful for.
I got one question before we continue. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to know the answer. Because we're from the same area, so you know how the man them look at each other for certain things.
Yeah.
What happened for you to say, do you know what? I'm going to apply for a job and become a bus driver. Because that was the talk of the end. Hey, you know, Bessie drives the bus. Yeah, And some people look at it like, yeah, but it's an honest living. You know how there's some man that's like, yeah, but bus driver, I'd rather do this and I'd rather do that. But I rate the fact that you're like, no, I'm going on the straight and narrow and I'm earning an honest living.
I was low on dough, man. I just didn't have money. Really. I'd left the Brit school at that point. I didn't quite know how to navigate getting an acting agent and doing those kind of things. So I just thought, in the meantime, I'll get a job.
Mm.
And before I was a bus driver, I was a postman. I used to be a postman in Hampstead.
Okay.
So I was delivering, just running around big mail bags, heavy as well. Have you never done that, Joe?
No.
Yo, postman, big up the postman because they are carrying these mad heavy bags, pushing these heavy trolleys up and down hills. You just think, I just get my mail. You're not even thinking about it. But people are putting in real shifts to get you your mail.
How long did you do that for?
I did that for about a year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and then bus driving, like, similar thing. But yeah, I just wanted to, just get a job, man. I saw an advert, I think I was on the train, that said £500 a week. I thought, fuck it. I'll do that, that'll be okay. And I had my driver's license as well. So I passed my test at, like, 17. I think at the time you needed to have had your license for, like, 3 years and be 21. And I was 21 and had the license for, like, 4 years. So I was like...
So it was 21?
Because you got on the bus early, bud. So it must have been a bit mad, though, because obviously you're bashy from Risky Roads, you're bashy from this tape, you're bashy from Eskimo Dance, and then man's getting on the bus with the Oyster and bashy's on the bus driver. You're thinking, what?
Yeah. It was mad, bro. It was mad. I used to have the hood, as far up as possible.
No, good clock.
Yeah, but some people just be like, I swear.
Do
you know what I mean? And sometimes I'll be like, whatever. Sometimes I'll say I'm someone else. I'll be like, I get that all the time. Sometimes I'll say I'm his brother. I'll just do little things to just whatever. And it was cool. Like, I think when people see young bus driver, young, that looks like us, they just kind of leave you alone. There's no, they don't really try it. And I was cool. It's not that serious to me.
Yeah.
You're probably not allowed to do it, but you ain't got no money to get on the bus.
Yeah.
It's just how go on,
bro. Bridging says that as well. Bridging works for the train and he's like, listen, whenever I see black kids, like sometimes they get on the train and they act a bit mad and he's like, listen, I get it. I was your age as well. Just listen, just don't cause no trouble, man. It's calm. Just get on the train, it's calm. Because more times he kind of sees himself in them. It's the same thing.
Same. Just get on in it.
Just behave.
Just get on. Sit upstairs or whatever, be easy, don't no fuckeries, and then it's cool. It's not that serious.
Yeah.
And I'm going to back my
people
that look like me, but not just on a colour thing. If you're just like a brother that looks like he comes from where I come from, white boy, Irish, whatever.
Comes true.
Get on the bus. The only thing I didn't like was when a young kid would get on and like put their oyster up to the thing and like walk past and go beep with their mouth. I just think, brother, like don't do that. And then, yo, come back here.
Get off the bus.
Yeah, don't do that to me. Like, you can get on.
Do you know what you're going to say if it was the thing that said, Bugabash? I thought you were going to say that. Yeah. I was going to say, nah, allow me, blood, man. I thought you were going to say.
Hey, that bar was cold, though.
Hey, that was.
So from then, what happened after? What was the
after bus driving?
Yeah.
Were you still emceeing during the bus driving times? You must have been if you were 21.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. 21, because I did.
How old were you when you did Shank?
Oh, no. Shank, I was like a little bit older. Shank, I was 24.
Okay. So is that period there, 21
yeah.
to 24?
Yeah, 21 to 24, just before that. And then I think I wrote Black Boys at 21.
Okay.
Let me think. I think Black Boys might have come out 2007. So I was 22, but I'd written it 2006, I think, when I was 21. Yeah, and then it come out 2007.
Okay. That's a big tune.
Big tune, yeah.
Yeah, so I had done that and then started getting shows, quite a lot of shows, actually, when Black Boys came out. And then that allowed... Then I could take that leap. Actually, I could focus on career. Just like career. Because money, some finances was coming in. I felt like, all right, yeah, cool. Maybe I don't need to do the bus driving as much. Because what was happening to me was I was doing shows, getting home at like 4 a.m. in the morning, 5 a.m. in the morning, and then
having to go to work.
And then I'm like really tired.
You say you crash a bus? I see the lyric you said that.
I did crash a bus. I crashed a bus. It was mad.
Was it tiredness?
Twice, maybe.
Was it tiredness?
Tiredness, I would say.
Because I'm not going to say his name, but I know one of my boys, he crashed the bus one time, but it was mad because that's when he realized he had a condition.
Oh.
Yeah, so he can't do long drives anymore. But okay. It's only until he crashed that he went and got checked and they were like, you know, you have, I can't remember what it's called. But literally, if he's motionless for a long period of time, he's conking up. He's one of them. So if he can't do long drives, he has to be able to turn left, turn right quick. Okay. If he's on like a motorway and he's tired, he's conking.
He's got to go.
Yeah. So I think he was driving the bus and it was like a long straight. And everyone on the bus is thinking, yo, this bus is...
it's jogging.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. Hit the central...
reservation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, for us.
Oh, yeah. Mine, I misjudged. Like there was a truck or something. It was like parked out at a bit of an angle and I kind of just misjudged it. Just tiredness, man. Just, boom, just like smashed the whole glass. Everyone on the bus, you're just like,
yes.
A couple of things. But the bus driving
interesting experience.
Yeah. Because just how sometimes, like I would say most people are cool, right? But like what people don't know, this is what I would like to explain, which I think people don't know, right? Because you know, like when the bus would cancel at a certain stop, like before the destination, so like might have to terminate here.
You gotta
tell them. Like, I think that people think it's the bus driver just personally saying,
I'm just gonna
stop the bus. So everyone gives the bus driver a stick, but it comes from like the control center, and they're like a bus might have broken down, and then there's that in order to keep the rotation going, to keep the time so that it can roughly stay on schedule, they would cancel your bus. Does that make sense? So to keep, if a bus is every 20 minutes, but then one breaks down up ahead, that could make the gap 40 minutes. So they might tell you cancel, drive up ahead to replace it so that the gap is smaller.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, one time I had to cancel and then the guy was just like, nah, you will go to the next stop. Just like, bro, I can't.
Message is war. He had something to do. When you got an important appointment, that's the worst one, you know?
What the ones where kids jump on and you're like, yeah, I'm turning off the bus. He goes, do they have to get off the bus? Or is that the bus driver's decision to be like, I'm not taking this violation?
Yeah, I think it's more the bus driver saying he's not having it. That never really happened to me.
I used to be with that child back
in the day. That's what I'm saying. You must be didn't care as not that not much, but it wasn't like the kids coming on, you don't mind as long as they're not causing drama. Yeah. But something that bus drivers is being extra, man. Bro, it's a kid anyway, man.
Yeah, but
I'm not moving this bus until you come back. Dude, bare people, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
And you just in the corner chilling.
Yeah, I didn't want no above. I just wanted minimal problems. I just want to do my job,
go
get
home.
My dough, and go home.
So from Black Boys
to
Shank.
Was that Black Boys, I think, Chopper Chops mixtape?
One of the greatest
the maddest thing is, we were talking about that mixtape. Why did we start talking about that mixtape the other day, Taze?
This is about just giving Bashir flowers.
This is about maybe like 6 months. Yeah, about 6 weeks ago, he was talking about. We talked about Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Yes.
So we're talking about Mount Rushmore. We're talking about who else could be on Mount Rushmore, and then Taze was like, Bashir could be on Mount Rushmore, and I'm like, yeah, he could be, you know. But I haven't heard Bashir release any music in a minute. Mm. I'm like, does Bashir still even release music? He's gone, yeah. He said, you know what? Listen to Chopper Chop mixtape. I'm telling you, bro. You'll get what I'm saying. I said, all right, cool. Went to the gym, listened to Chopper Chop mixtape. I rang Taze, I hear it now. I hear it. This was like, that's mad. That's even, it was about maybe like 3 weeks ago, innit?
And you put it on recently as well.
Yeah. Just because I've literally every day people,
it's a classic thing.
Like, asking, when can you put it out?
Yeah.
Reminiscing about it. So then we just decided, all right, cool. It's just.
There's certain mixtapes I don't skip. That's one I don't skip.
Mm.
I don't skip. I can listen from start to finish. It's a story.
Yeah.
The places you're mentioning, I understand. Yeah, so like, for example, when you, on the new album, which we're going to touch on, I think it's the first track where you're going through like, is it the first track? You're going through different ends.
Yeah.
It feels like where I'm from.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's mad to me because.
You're not from here.
No.
Where are you from?
East.
Okay.
Like Bola. Yeah. So I feel like how probably you felt when you heard Dizzy and Wiley talking about certain things.
Yeah.
Because I'm from East. So everywhere they're talking about Boundary or they're talking about Roman Road or whatever, I know these places.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah. Whereas you're listening to it like, what's he talking about? Whereas when Bashy on that mixtape is talking about certain areas, now because of maybe like Afraid or No Mozart, or now, but back in the day, I never heard of these areas before.
Oh, okay.
Kilburn, Harlesden, Stonebridge, like that's all you heard from the East. There's certain parts.
If you meet a man, right, like let's say you meet a man in Central or East, and he says he's from Northwest, you want to know where he's from first before you say where you're from. It's just a thing. So when a man says, yeah, I'm from Northwest too, okay, where? Because we might not be from the same place, or we might not be seeing eye to eye. So where are you from? And the man says, Kilburn. Like, which part of Kilburn? You still need to dig deep before you start saying where you're from. It's just like
that.
You hear it. And so when he's saying he's slipping in certain ends, I'm saying everything, Bashy, why would you go there, man?
Yeah, but you know, someone told me this the other day, but they was from East. They was just like, it was one of the first times that it made them say, oh, that's what it's like around there.
Mm.
Or that's the shops, or that's how maybe the slang that they use.
Mm.
And I find that with music. Like when I listen to an artist, what I like from listening to people, or it's like if I listen into Kendrick Lamar, I get a sense of what it's like to live in LA.
Yeah.
Or if I'm listening to like Nas, early Nas and Jay-Z, I get a sense of what it's like in New York.
Right? Yeah.
So I really enjoy that in artistry. If you're listening to an artist, I think some of that maybe is lost a lot because I guess maybe with the internet, social media, a lot of things maybe are inspired by each other. So then things, it's less defined in terms of how merges. People sound. Yeah, it merges a lot more. But it's like, I'm a big fan of Kano, say, but when you hear his album, you hear Made in the Manor, it's like, nah, that's East London.
That's
where he's from, do you get me? So I like to hear that in music.
You did it well, man.
I think Chopper Chops, Chopper Chops did that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and the marketing as well, we put the lollipops on there to really just make it stand out.
That's another thing.
I actually used to love a lollipop, bro.
Forget the lollipop
any videos I used to see,
but it's branded.
Yeah.
Even I can't remember how old I was, but when I saw it, I wanted to shake your hand, man. When you drop Bish Bash Bosh, like with the B, it's just branding. I'm like, anywhere you see that, you're going to see him without seeing him.
Yeah. And even if you go sweet shop, you see a lollipop.
You know what I'm saying? It was just sick. No one else was really doing that.
Yeah. And I know people like kind of, you know, it's a funny man. It's a why. Whatever they'll say about it. Yeah, but it was more. It's less about. Cool. Like man, enjoyed like whatever, had whatever. But it was more about man was broke, really didn't have much though, and it was about thinking about what way can I market this for as little as possible. Mm. What's gonna make it stand out on the shelves? And it's just like, all right, cool. Something that we do every day or something, like sometimes you might be in a shop and you might just grab
one of those chopper chop things. So it was just like, cool. That's what that's the idea that went into my head, right? Maybe if it was, if I thought chewing gum, maybe I would, do you know what? I'm going to put chewing gum. But actually, chewing gums are mad expensive. So that's not what I'm going to put on them. Yeah. Chopper chops, it was bright. So it was just more just thinking outside the box. And that is why that mixtape sold so many physical copies, because it was on the shelf with other mixtapes that didn't have that. And it's just like curiosity, right? Something that looks different. People picked it up. So it worked.
Hearing it now makes sense. But at the time, it was like, this is...
Yeah.
It makes sense. Even the transition, like I said, into Bish Bash Bosh, the colours that you used was sick, man. The only person that was doing it really at the time, colours-wise, was T-Magic. Do you remember?
Is he from Stonebridge?
Yeah.
Tough.
Do you remember?
Yeah. T-Magic stuff, his t-shirts and that.
Do you know what I'm saying? Crazy. The way he was doing his thing, I was like, branding-wise, this is cold. And at the time, I probably didn't know the term branding or marketing, but he stood out. You stood out. And what came after for me was like Ask Your Girl, Trap Star, Benjar. Do you know what I'm saying?
And what, you know what? Maybe it's something to do with like West and Northwest, because if you hear all those names, maybe that's just because where we're from, right? But T-Magic's from Bridge. Ask Your Girl, I want to say he's from Grove. I think. And then you got
Trap Star,
Mikey and them, they're from West.
Jar's
from Northwest. Yeah. And then there's the new guy right now who's popping off, Cortez.
Yeah.
Sick. But from where?
Where's he from? I think he's from North. He says Northwest, West. I don't know where he's from.
Maybe
it's
something around.
Something in the water over there, man.
Something.
I think you've always been quite like ornate with your stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Like in terms of the jewelry, in terms of like the drip.
Mm.
So I think it's just, and there's been a lot of influence over there from different cultures as well. I think maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
It must be that, because you're naming bare brands. I'm like, what?
You know, they did Lot 29 and that.
You are dumb. Are you about that? That's the man that he's trying to think of East.
Okay.
You are dumb. No. You weren't academics. He's man all right.
No, we had the shops there, but that wasn't our main thing, to be fair.
So what tracksuits were you wearing? Nike?
Yeah. A shot jacket. If you had a shot jacket, you was the guy. Averex.
No, we didn't do that.
More time, it was just the shopping Harsden, the shopping Bush.
Harsden.
Pretty much, yeah.
We weren't doing Lot 29 though.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
We weren't doing Lot 29.
And he had Global in Bush,
yeah.
So you got the Jordans and the tracksuits and I guess Moschino, Iceberg, all that.
That's where I put Chopper Chops. It was in Global.
Yeah,
that's
so
where,
that's, you would have got everyone in
that's
there.
That's one of the places where it started popping off. There was a guy there called E, and he... Big up, you know, people that support young brothers that look like us, like, but they're older. Mm. There's ones that can like lead you down the wrong path, yeah. And then there's ones that like can see a shining light and will help you. Like, I went there, I was like, yo, I want to put my CD in there. He was like, all right, cool. Yeah, man. How many are you gonna put? I'll take a whole box, put them in. Then he's called me, they've gone, bring some more. So like you need those people to help like take a chance on you.
Yeah. I remember Global Sport, we used to go there still.
Yeah.
From East, I don't know how I used to get there though.
Right, from East.
Yeah, from East.
Bop, you
on
know?
A train.
I can't remember, you know. No, it might have been like one man drive.
Is it?
And then four man jump in.
To be fair,
We used to, because that's where everyone used to get the Arachis from.
Okay.
The one with the Velcro.
Yeah, the old school one. Because that
shop there had colours that you couldn't get anywhere else.
Okay.
It was black, but then there was like brown, there was... I remember you take, I think it was like, was it like 170 or something?
One back then.
I'm sure it was.
I went by the rush for
one. I'm sure it was.
They were bumping you, boy. 170.
I remember, I'm thinking it was something
you,
like that.
Did you not think it was exclusive?
No. In terms of like, Arachis were expensive anyway.
Not 170, though.
I can't remember. I remember like certain colours were like, we had Meteor Sport in Bethnal Green and they had like certain trainers were expensive, I remember. I'm sure Arachis were like 170 or something.
Mad. Before we go into acting, I've got another question for you.
Yeah.
Not even a question, just a statement.
Before you go Global, I'll say, don't say it. But one time, I was like around Global in Bush, and someone said to me, like a group of guys coming. I don't know, boy. Man just got mad stacked for no reason. They said, I swear you were saying something about me. I was like, I've never seen you before. Bruv, these brothers chased me through Shepherd's Bush Market, bruv. I swear it was fucking...
It was easy mad. Back then.
Yeah, back then for no reason. I think people like... But now I think people like show like mad love. But I think back then, you see when you're the same age as everyone, like everyone's testing each other's sort of masculinity, toxic masculinity of that time. I don't know why.
Wiley got caught in Global Sport as well one time.
Yes.
I finished him.
Finished him, bro. See,
Finished him.
And the funny thing is, when you're the somebody and you're getting checked by a bunch of nobodies, I mean, in the sense that you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Any little thing you say, someone will be like, "What are you trying to be disrespectful?" You're like, "Bro, I just answered your question." You know, it's like, what you say? You answered the question. Yeah. It's like, it's a problem.
And also, you can't run because you don't know whether it's an admiration thing or beef.
Mm.
So a man will say to you, "Yo, you taser." So you're not thinking it's beef. You're like, "Oh, raw, what podcast?" Next week, man, but you can't even react because you thought it's friendly. Like,
listen, we tried.
There's some subjects that actually relate to. We'll talk about them later, where we can go back and
address
them.
But I was going to say another thing. The reason why I gravitated towards your music and stuff is. The girls, man. The way you spoke to girls was exactly how I pictured myself speaking to girls. You know, back in the day, certain man around MCing, bare violent. Even when they're speaking about girls, it's just violent. I'm like, nah. Yeah. The way you did it, I'm like, this is. I like this one. I like this. So that's another thing I just wanted to point out as well.
Yeah, you have to show love to the girls, man. To the women. You have to, man.
You did it in a way where it wasn't corny.
Yeah.
It wasn't aggressive. It wasn't corny. You could tell that you had manners.
You respected them.
Do you know what I'm saying? I liked it, man.
You have to respect the ladies, man.
50 said that as well, I think. 50 was saying that, like, you make tunes, never make tunes for the guys. Make tunes for the girls to a degree. Because if the girls can bump it, everyone's dancing.
Yeah, it's true.
Everyone's coming out. You got your... I gotta pull up sometime. Yeah, yeah. Like Chucky's always saying, "Yo, come.
It's weird because it's like, we don't necessarily know the crowd that's coming out. We just put the tickets out and the crowd come. But the crowd that do come, it's like, this is a nice community.
Yeah.
It's a very nice community. Like, everyone's having a good time. And it's not, predominantly white people, predominantly black people. It's mixed.
Yeah, that's what you want. You
got everyone in there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's a nice vibe.
That's how Garage used to feel to me before it got on top. Yeah. Yeah, there was just like good vibes, good music, singing. Like, I think
that's probably what it is for me, good energy. It gives me the vibe of like the early days of Faded. Come on, man.
That's it.
So with that, obviously, the idea behind Faded was to try and come out of West End.
Okay.
That was what it was. We don't want to dress up. We don't like an accountant to go raving.
Mm.
At the same time, DJs can even tell you there was times where we're going to West End and there's posters behind the DJ booth. Don't play Afrobeats, don't play grime, don't play dancehall. So you're like, what can we play then?
Yeah.
So when it got to that stage where all you're listening to is commercial music, and if the man name or the American artists that we listen to aren't charting, you can't play the song in the club. It's like, this is dead now.
Stifling.
So that's what kind of gave put the battery in me and Matthews back to kind of like, that's not a why, by the way. To start fading. then push forward. But that feeling that I had in 2012 is the feeling that I have now with R&B.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's that kind of feeling.
It's good to see that, man. Respectful.
That's mad though, because you said about the Garage thing, but even sometimes your album, I know Garage, it's a DJ Garage.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've still got the vinyls in my house. I've been doing the renovations and I've got bare vinyls in it. And there's certain songs on that album that I can hear that either the Garage sample, the Garage words, or you talking about Garage. So it's interesting that you say that because it must be something that's shaped you musically a lot.
Garage, that was a time. So that was a time, but it was one of my favorite times growing up.
Mm.
In West, we used to go to a rave called Rhythm Nation. Did you ever go to one of those? So there was like, well, these used to be in like Acton Town Hall and like Ealing Town Hall, but these raves were ram.
Fair enough.
Going off. This is where your first experience of meeting. Raven.
Gyalana.
Do you know what I mean? Just bagging girls you've never seen for, like, because you know, you grow up in, say, like, I grew up in like Westbourne Park, Brunel Estate. So I know a lot of the people around there from growing up, going to primary school. I went to St. Mary's of the Angels and then I went to a play center. Do you know about play center?
I didn't go to play center, but I've heard about it.
So we had a play center where you would just go, there's like tambox, swings, football, you just go there. So I went to St. Stephen's Place, and so I'd go there. So you'd meet the girls around there. And then when I left and I went to Kensal Rise, and then I went to a boys' school as well. I went to a boys' school in Harsden, and then there was a girls' school up the road called Convent.
Yeah, Convent. So what boys' school did you go to?
Cardinal Hinsley.
Cardinal Hinsley, yeah.
So I went Cardinal Hinsley. And then maybe it might go down to Si Manning every so often.
Yeah, yeah? Si Manning, like, West, yeah.
In West, yeah. To just, you know, like, go and hang out.
Si Manning, yeah.
Yeah, go and hang out with, you know, chick. Go meet people, innit? Yeah, go meet people. But Rhythm Nation?
The game changer.
Different. That was people from everywhere. Like, the girl you just never... Man as well, so... Same time where you'd see gal you'd never seen, you'd see some brothers you'd never seen before as well at that time. So same thing. But that was a good vibe. Those were some of the best party moments I remember in life, and they've had a real impact on me to the point where I'll be driving now, still listening to garage music. I listen to hip hop and that, but a lot of times.
I feel with Grime. I still listen to some of your old sets. Like there's YouTubers, yeah. I think maybe they've dug deep into their archives. Bro, there's sets from like 2002, 2003 online now on YouTube. I still listen to them.
I told you when I was clearing up my house the other day, I found like bare 8-packs of like garage.
Plastic.
Yeah, plastics. The Garage Nation, Sun City, Sidewinder. Then when they went to CDs, I checked for my EZ tape because mine was still your EZ tape. I've got the EZ tapes, whatever. And then I've got like a trainer box full of cassettes of like... Mad. Roll Deep Show, and Taylor was like, "I'll put them on YouTube. You think
it's a joke? I'm telling you, it's just finding it. But once I'm still finding. Like, obviously, I never got to go Tavistock.
Okay,
I missed that window. Innit?
Yeah.
I heard there's one night that Laser shut it.
What's Tavistock? What's that?
It's what would you call Tavistock?
It's like
club back in community center, but there used to be sets there.
Yeah,
and it was sets that were like epic. I'm in my yard.
Laser went to my school.
Yeah, see, yeah. Connor, is it? Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Critical went to school as well,
isn't it? Critical went to school as well.
I'm in my yard, man. I'm like, oh, Taze, you missed out. I'm like, what happened?
Rage.
But my dad's not letting me out. He's not letting me out. The only time I went out was when we had MBY. So this is the crew that I had, Mitchell Brook Youngers.
Yeah.
Laser was booked at an event in Southall Community Centre.
Okay.
Dirty Movements.
Okay.
And he managed to get us on the line lineup as well. That's the one rave I went to and I saw girls. I said, this is what you man have been doing.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's
man.
Not letting me out though. That was the one time because obviously I could show him the flyer. Like, look, dad, this is essentially work. Yeah. Apart from that, he weren't having it. These men are getting regular.
It's mad though because our one was like young man standing.
Yeah. We heard about that as well.
It was mad I was there.
Oh, was it?
See, I was young man standing. That's what you were just talking about, the journey and stuff. Mm. So that's where I was going. I was going Young Man Standing, Palace Pavilion.
Right, Palace Pavilion?
Yeah, I heard about all of these.
Yeah, I was going to all these raves. This is like a 16, 17, 18-year-old going to try and MC. Like, push myself up on the stage and jump. And there'll be loads of people. DEE's there, like, go MC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is like the first time... Because, you know, before there's no social media, right? There's pre-DVDs, pre all of that. So you don't even know what anyone looks like.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for someone to take the microphone.
It might not be good. It might not like shut down, you know?
I'm closing the talker phone.
You know.
Yeah. I got you.
Full word. Now, do you know what? It's my brother. My brother's, he's on to me.
Well, you can see that we're on to each other in the studio as well.
So, yeah, you'd wait and then you'd see someone. You'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Bro, that's DEE. Okay. That's Joki Mundo. Oh, that's. Who else would be there? That's DEE.
All in one to be.
Who else would be there? Hyper.
Storming.
God's Gift.
Rico.
There's Ben.
Rico. Yeah, that's
Major
that's,
Ace. That's
Major Ace. Rest in peace, Major Ace. That's where you'd see people.
Nah, sorry, Bashy. You put in work, you know. Because remember, there was a part where people were like, right, is Bashy part of. What was the crew called again?
Special Delivery, it was.
Special Delivery.
It was.
And East Connection.
Yeah, because he was always on their sets.
Yeah.
But you had Brit School in the morning. What's going on?
Brit School in the morning, bro. What you mean, bro?
We put in the work, bro.
Serious work, you know?
Bro,
this was because you were driving.
No, at first, because I started going there when I was 16 years old, going to like Deja Vu and that. So I think I was around 16. And then I passed my test. As soon as I turned 17, I passed my test. I was taking my driving lessons at 16 with the view of as soon as I turn 17, boom, theory test, boom, driving, I'm out. Because it would take me 2 hours to get to a Brit School every day in the morning. 2 hours there, 2 hours back. So I would do that every morning, 5 days a week to get to the school. But just to be around like-minded people, like actors, creatives, musicians. Yeah, just that. I just wanted to be in that environment because I didn't know, I didn't have it locally. So that's where I would.
You put in your hours, man.
A lot of the things,
the reason why I'm saying this is because, like I said, I can see the way that you came through the ends, cut out. I'm looking at it as me. Like, there's a day where, you know, you just, this is no disrespect as well, yeah?
Yeah.
But, you know, you just look at the man and think, wait, don't you lot want more? Yeah. Just on the block every day. Same girl coming through, same excitement. Same speak, but bro, I want to do more, man. And they're like, oh, so what do you want to do? And I'll say something like, I want to go east. Why do you want to go east to slip in? Because I want to see something different.
Yeah.
I want to experience something different. I mean, I want to go central. Why are we just chilling on the block today? The same shop, same bookies, same food shop. Yeah. So, come on, man. And then they're looking at me like, nah, like, you're doing too much. All right, cool. And then you just step out by yourself.
Curious. Yeah, you just curious.
You think it was your dad and your mom and that?
What? That showed me that I could, there's more.
Yeah. Because remember, they took you to Nigeria. You see your dad used to take you about sometimes. Like, do you think it's that?
I don't think it's that. Because they didn't really, like I said, we didn't have money like that. I think it was just, I didn't feel the ends was enough. There must be more.
So no, I hear you, but I'm just saying.
Like, even for example, we see like girls here. I never really spoke to girls in the ends. Because in my mind, it could be someone's cousin or, and I, like again, stack. I didn't have anyone to defend myself. Yeah. So I speak to girls in different ends. I speak to girls in South. I speak to girls in East.
I think that's one of the things, just being curious.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I think what you were saying, maybe that was happening to me. Like, I went to school and my mom's from Jamaica. My dad's from Dominica. But for a while, I went to school in Dominica. So my dad, like, took me back because I was getting a lot of, I think the school teachers in my school, at the time, the system, and probably to a certain extent still now, wasn't set up to really care for people that look like us, right?
Yeah, so I understand.
They would really, it's not a good environment for us. You're being taught by people that don't maybe necessarily look like you or understand how to talk to you or
how you learn.
How you learn or just your language or how you behave. But then when I went to Dominica, I was mad. I saw like young teacher, maybe like our age now teaching us. But just seeing someone that looked like me had a different impact. When he was like, yo, like, stop talking. It's just like, whoa, actually, let me stop talking. Do you get me? He looks like me. And just there's just like a different kind of respect. But I think when you show kids that there is more, then they'll go for it.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they see it, like, whatever, bruv, normal stuff, like going to a farm or something, or just going out the ends, going to the beach, going to like, they'll be like, raw, this exists, but you don't really know that in the ends. And it takes maybe someone like yourself, maybe me, you, just like with that foresight. But not everyone can be like that. Everyone's not like that. That's why I think things can be set up to really help kids like that. Yeah, there's a thing that I've been thinking about just in my head, like that, like, if, because everyone's like, wow, we should help, like, who's helping the youths? Who's helping the youths? Like, we could help the youths. Like, if you take 500 people, yeah, and everyone puts down £2,000, that's a million. And I know that's like, let me make sure that maths is right. That maths is right. 500 people, and everyone's like, because everyone's got like these mad expensive jackets, £5,000 coat.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
30 grand, yeah, watch, 40 is, grand. Yeah.
Yeah.
500. You just take 500 brothers that look like us, that's from the ends, footballers, man who's doing whatever they're doing, and everyone just put down 2 bags. That's £1 million that could help the next generation. Oh, you lot need this. You want to go here. You need to go to wherever, man, Alton Towers, or go and check out a farm. You need school. There's a fund there, not $2,000. Yeah. Yeah, but everyone's talking out there. Everyone's got money. Everyone's ballers. Everyone's got this.
Even if it's even
only
if it's,
500 of us. Yeah. There's 500 brothers that have $2,000 that spend it in a club.
Yeah.
Or spend it on other stuff. Me included. My $2,000's here. I just, yeah. If there's another 499 brothers that want to put down that, and we can help start to take care. That's just one. That's just
yeah, one
thing. Oh, 2,000 brothers, 5 bills.
2,000 brothers, 5 bills.
Come on. Quick
even, even easier. Even easier, bro. Wait, even easier. There's 2,000 men that's got 5 bills.
Yeah,
100%.
But what's important as you know? Is it money or time? Because as an idea that I had, I always thought about it. You know when everyone was screaming Team UK, Team UK, whatever?
Yeah.
If all of you went to a venue and just went to the venue and just said, listen, give us the date, a space to perform all of our tunes that you normally get whatever you get for it, but for on this one particular day, we're just doing it to raise money.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, and these are the ticket prices. All of the ticket money goes to whatever cause it is. We can raise money, yeah, but everyone has to agree. So for example, the lineup's mad. It's like, you got Rich, Bashy, DBE, Chip. You know, like all of the men that you would have donate $2,000.
Mad.
Just give us 3 minutes of your time performing one tune. And the money hasn't dipped into anyone's pocket. It's just
to a fund for things.
It goes to a fund for the people who are actually coming to support as
well. The problem is with this thing is admin and stuff.
Like, yeah,
sure. But there's ways to help the next generation coming through so that they can have those opportunities, right? And see stuff outside the ends and see actually there's more. You know, there's more. You can get on a plane. There's more to see.
I'll be honest with you. Do you know what pissed me off one time? And I realized, nah, you know what? Mandem, I need to leave. You know, like when you're just chatting on the block, and a man goes, oh, what would you do if you won the lottery? One of my boys said, bro, I'd buy every single yard in this estate. I said, oh.
That's not bad.
I know, but at the time. Nah, but you know what I mean? Like, you're not saying it.
Not even helping me win the block.
You're thinking about it now. He's not saying it on a vibe of everyone will be mortgage free.
He's not talking about Monopoly.
He's just saying I want to own every single yard.
Yeah. And oppress everyone. I'm still charging my rent. So nothing changes just for him.
I thought it was more like buying back the block.
No, I think now you look at it, you think, yeah, that's probably what he meant. But at the time, when I heard it, I said, what? You don't want to travel and that wasn't even an option for him.
But you know what is, I think I saw there was like a program and someone was saying that every single child is curious. Mm.
Yeah.
Like every single child's got a dream. But I said that growing up, adults are the ones who kind of tell them, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. So what you're doing is you're building walls. Mm. Walls. But you don't realize it. So a lot of kids, after a certain amount of time, even into adulthood, there's certain things that like you might say to yourself, the bus is there. I ain't running for that. I'm going to get tired. Now you don't run no more.
Because
so you build walls. So I'm saying your wall luckily wasn't at the end.
That might have been my mum and dad. Maybe that's just talking in the end. That's what I'm saying. Or even just watching, like, for example, just watching Nollywood and no one else is watching Nollywood. I'm like, well, this must be shot somewhere. So I'm saying it's just small things like that. We didn't watch the traditional TV shows that everyone was watching. I didn't even have access to the TV, I'll be honest with you. Mum and dad came
home.
Yeah. And also remember, you couldn't go out.
Yeah.
So because you couldn't go out, that will build a passion in you. Same way we had Dwayne Chambers on the episode.
Okay.
And he was saying that during the summer holidays, he wasn't allowed out.
Mm.
So he would look through the window and see the kids playing.
Yeah.
And that'll make him like, nah, I need to like go out. So luckily he said one coach kind of knew he was fast and saved him and said, come out. So that had like a fire in him. He was like, you know, when I do go out, I'm going to make it count. So it might have been that.
Yeah.
True. I weren't allowed out.
Serious?
Nah.
Did you go uni?
I did go uni, but then I dropped out.
Okay.
Yeah. I was studying digital marketing. But I really what I wanted to do was go to drama school. But then someone kind of got distracted and didn't end up going to drama school. And I probably could have, because a lot of people that were in my class at Brit School ended up going to drama school. And it's fine because it's worked out now.
Yeah.
People tell me, oh, do you know what? Maybe you didn't need to go. But...
I thought Brit School was drama school.
Brit School's a performing arts school, but then you can go to a university equivalent.
Okay.
So I would say Brit School's more like secondary school and college.
Okay.
Yeah. And then after, you could go on and do maybe 3 more years at drama school. Yeah.
So I'm trying to, did you do the whole, so you know, like you hear these stories of UK actors go to America and then this surf sofas.
Yeah, that's me.
You did that?
100%, that's my story.
So how, what is that? How, like, what is it, and how, what was it like for you?
So I got to a point in when I was doing music here, and I think maybe around 2013, 2015. So I'd done Chopper Chops, I'd done Black Boys, released an album called Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
And that was all around 2008, 2009, 2010. And then I was sort of like riding that wave for a little bit. But at that time, there wasn't much money for, I would say, a lot of rappers, musicians, people, I guess people were getting record deals.
Yeah.
And, but not really earning a lot. Definitely not how it is now.
No, yeah.
And I got to the point where it was like, right, actually, if I stay in the UK, I'm probably not going to fulfill my potential. I feel like the UK at that time, not now, I think it's a bit different now, but at that time, I think that the UK couldn't house my ambition. So my level of ambition of where I thought I could get to, just wasn't available to me here, like the opportunity. So I went to America, didn't have much money, but what happened was I got a job on for HBO. I got offered a series called The Night Of, and I recorded a self-tape here on my laptop at my mum's house in the... Were you looking it up?
I think I've seen that.
The Night Of. So it's with Riz Ahmed. He plays the lead, and it's about like the... about the prison system in America.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Strong show. Yeah. So I got offered that. I recorded a self-tape in my mum's house, and then the director saw it and was just like, and the casting director was just like, him. So I guess a degree of like talent and hard work, but sometimes these things are luck. So, or not even luck.
Blessing.
And more like preparation, right? Yeah. When you're prepared, the luck will find you, you know? So then I went out there, and then I met all the agents and the whole journey, like just hustling, man, speaking to my agent, like, yo, I need to get me in the room. She was probably getting pissed off with me at the time, my British agent. I'm like, I want to meet this person. I'm out here. I was out there for like maybe like 4 months. I just wanted to meet people. And then I got the, then an agent wanted to take me on out there in New York and LA, but I still didn't have any money. That's the maddest thing. You're getting flown out. I'm staying in these mad hotels. I don't even have the money to pay for like room service and
food and that.
Yes, but they're giving you like, they give you per diems, so you get a little bit of money per diems, but I didn't have any peace, so I was saving that money. It was like, can't remember how much it was, but I'd save it every day, and I'd eat food on the set, bring food home to the hotel, and that's what I would eat for my dinner.
Yeah.
And then just to save the money. And then when I got to LA, same thing, I was phoning people like, yo, can I like stay, you know, it's like a week, try not to overstay, you know, because like you get them people you say like come to the house and then like they're not leaving.
Like, yeah, you don't want to be that guy, but yeah, you still want to use
but you need the space because you can't really afford the hotel rooms. I was renting rooms for a while, like in someone's house, like one room, and that's, you know, like now if I go somewhere I'd have my own space, and I'd just take a small room in someone's house if I could pay for it. And then when I ran out of money, then I was staying on couches. And then you were saying that we got like a mutual bro.
Yeah.
Big up Aaron. Yeah. Fontaine. That's my cousin. But he had a situation out there with Samson where they, I think, maybe pulled some money together, rented an apartment. And then I was like, I ain't got nowhere to stay. My cousin was like, come and stay with us. I went and stayed on the sofa there. They looked after me, brother. It was a mad,
time. Not to go too personal, yeah, but it was a time where Aaron, I can't remember what happened, yeah, but he needed somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
And you know, a Nigerian parent is, you can't have that conversation. But I said, Mom, you know what Aaron means to me. He needs somewhere to stay. She goes, so what are you going to do? I said, I'll just throw out the double mattress and I'll put in the two singles. Mad. She was like, for Aaron? I said, yeah, he needs somewhere to stay. She was like, okay, cool. So then he stayed with me for, I think, maybe for about 2 weeks. We just had the single bed here, my single bed there. And he was just crashing there whenever he needed to. But one thing that he used to do, yeah, is if he could stay somewhere else,
yeah,
he would. He would only stay in my yard if he needed to.
Yeah.
But just knowing that if I have somewhere in London.
Somewhere
he lives
in
Luton, isn't it? Yeah. I've got somewhere just in case. So yeah, whenever he wanted to come crash once.
See, and then he paid it forward. You know, just like paying it forward. Yeah. So he's paid it forward. You know, just like things like that. And then, bruv, even just girls, bruv. Like sometimes girls will look out for you more than the man them. Like, not that you're linking them or doing anything like that, but girlfriends will help you. Like, I remember I called two of my friends out there. Big up Rania and Ty. Yeah? Rania's my brethren from here. Yeah? And Ty, he's an actor. Just off the strength, it was his place, his home. She was like, my brethren's here from London. Like, he needs a place to stay. He's an actor. Like, taking meetings and that. He was like, oh, what, young black guy, yeah? Yeah, man, you can stay, man.
Let me pause you right there. You would never let that happen.
Would that happen?
Your girlfriend comes to you and says, a boy wants to stay in your yard.
100%.
I swear. Oh, you've changed. Look at you. Oh, yeah. Continue.
No. I'm not going to... Wait, hold on. I was going to do that and then say continue. Wait,
is Brett listening?
Thank you.
I swear. Yeah,
100%. Man, you got to, bro.
But I need to let... No, but you remember, if
it's off the cosign of your girlfriend.
And if it's like someone that I've never seen him before, but like you speak of him in
a certain way,
and he does. I've never, basically, he's never crossed the boundary that I've had a problem with.
Yeah,
man ain't ringing your mad late. Man ain't trying to call her babes. It's just they're brethren.
Yeah, no, only respect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you can stay.
Only respect.
100%.
Only respect.
Bro. You need friends like that. You're right, man. You need friends like that, man.
Do you know what I mean? Or like, yeah, my other brethren like out there. She's like, yeah, cool. You ain't got a place to stay, but man was sleeping in the bed, not troubling it, like nothing like that, but back to back. But just, I needed a place to stay, bro. So man's there 5 days, 7 days, stayed there, cool. And then boom, and then got the agent.
So what did you bag after that?
24.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I got the agent, then I came home. So my main goal was getting an agent out there. Then I got the agent. And then once I got the agent, I was taking loads of meetings the next day. And then I was there for a little bit longer, staying with Aaron, just kind of, would you couch surfing, just moving around, bro.
So what is the, sorry to cut you, what is the importance of having an agent? Sorry.
The agent gets you the meetings. So if you go to, I think if you go out to America, or any, like here anyway, but if you don't have the representation, if you don't have the representation, you can't get into the rooms with the casting directors, with the directors.
Oh, okay.
You don't have the network yet. And I know people say, like, they go out and network and meet people, go to parties and stuff. It's never happened like that for me. There's never been a party that I've gone to that has got me an acting role. It's always been through auditioning, or maybe now at the stage that I'm at, it's a little bit different. But yeah, it's always gone through audition. So networking and stuff, I think it works to a certain degree for some people if you're good at that and that is your forte and you're someone who's like a people person. But I'm quite chill, relaxed. It's not really my vibe. So you need the agent out there that can get you into the rooms and get you to have the meetings. And then that's when it changed. And I came back here for a little bit, and then I went out there, auditioned for 24 and something else, and I got the both of them. And then I had to pick between the two. And then I ended up picking 24, and then it played after Super Bowl, and then the rest is literally since probably the night of that HBO show, between that and 24, those moments changed my life and probably got me to all the next bits. But it's been a mad 20-year journey, 20, 21 sick, years.
And have you done an interview before?
No, this is the first.
And the reason why I think your journey is sick is because we thought you went quiet, but you didn't. You've been chugging away, because remember, there's a gap where you just didn't see Bashir no more for a bit.
Yeah.
Like after maybe that, after, is it that
music?
Was it Kidoid?
I had an album out, but you know, I think people think that you're like, if people don't hear from you, they just think that you're gone.
Yeah.
I think social media has helped make that a bit better, because people can
still see what you're doing on a day-to-day.
Yeah. But at the time, that wasn't really, like, Instagram wasn't really a thing.
So yeah.
And like, you know, podcasts and
TikTok. Just being on YouTube and stuff like that.
Just these things weren't really available at our disposal. Yeah. So, yeah, it would appear to some people that I've been quiet, but no, I've been working the whole time, constantly. And that's what I mean, like, people would see you sometimes, and it happens a lot, right? People be like, "Bro, what are you still doing the acting thing?" I think, acting thing?
You did see them on Amazon Prime.
Like, hey, yo. But yo, don't be small enough, man. It's not a thing. It's like a man's whole career. Yeah. There's things going on. Just because you ain't seen it doesn't mean that someone's not going on with things. You know what I mean? I'm just cracking on quietly, and I'm someone, I don't really jump and scream about my successes and that. I just carry on. Yeah, I'm just carrying on winning, innit? I might do a little post every now and then, but brother, I'm just quietly working. I just let the work do the talking. For me, that's the best.
Aaron says that all the time as well.
Yeah, because, I just think
Aaron's
that's the way to do it.
It's weird though that people do that. A lot of people like the backhanded compliments. Like, just say like, I like your acting thing, big up your thing. The end.
No, but I think it's
your acting thing. Because even a podcast, people say, I see you. Do that podcast thing with that. What you man?
Don't say it like that. That's not what they say.
What
they say? They say it like this. Like, you man still chatting? Yeah.
Don't talk stuff like that.
Just chatting.
It's mad. You man get paid just for chatting just shit in the studio.
Yeah?
You're like, man, all right.
Yeah.
Man, don't worry about who you know. You know what I mean? To look at man like what?
Yeah.
Jay-Z done there as well. You know. That's in my head though.
Some of it's our own.
No, in my head I'm like thinking, but I just feel like, ha, let's leave it. I just think, you know,
but that's what I was saying in the beginning. Like when people start disrespecting us sometimes, we've had to learn how to be like, all right. You know, you just look at it, you see, wonder. And then you get them another time. And more time it's your work.
Yeah.
You just let them know, you just that little post is that, oh, my little thing, yeah, look, I did this.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's how we, I guess that's how it's we navigate. Yeah.
I just think you can't be calling what man's doing
a little thing.
A little thing.
It's true.
At this point, I think it's disrespectful. And I'm not gonna tell anyone who's doing what they're doing. Oh, how's your football thing going on? It's not a thing, man. It's how's football?
Yeah. You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
How's music? How's your career? How's acting? How is what you're up to? You know, just to like little man's thing off. I just think
How are you?
Yeah.
How about that? How are you, bro? You good? You ain't got to talk about my career anything. How are you?
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
My man would just do this whole little.
I think it's insecurity, man.
Yeah.
It's insecurity. Some people just project.
But let's
And for yourself sometimes. And for yourself, right? Sometimes, like, if your stuff is not maybe going the way it wanted to be, like, you're taking everything like a slight. Like, you know? And I've had those moments when you're quiet or like your career's a bit quiet and that. And then like, man, I saying, oh, like, what's going on with the music? And you just feel like, it's not going at the moment, or that it's not happening.
What were you going to move on to, by the way?
The music.
Oh yeah, cool. Okay, that's what I was going to say, something along the lines of that. But cool.
Is that enough for the acting? Because you wanted to.
No, I was just going to say, what was it like filming them?
Yeah,
them.
I watched that one. To be everything you put out, I've watched. Bro.
Respectful. Thank you.
So,
them. Do you know what? Them was another moment. I think you have these moments, you hit these new, I don't want to call them levels because I don't really like that. It's levels. I don't really like that saying.
You unlock something else.
Yeah, I think you hit these milestones.
Yeah,
you hit these moments in your career that change the trajectory of your career. So like, I think when I was doing The Night Of 24, that was one type of style and I was in one space, and then once I tapped into a few more things, then I got the opportunity to do another show out there called Salvation. And then after that, I did Top Boy. Actually, I took a mad story about that as well.
One of our favorite scenes.
One of our favorite scenes, man.
Which one?
Even Kano tells you, big man,
you gotta eat that one. Oh, terrible. Listen.
I know you said that to someone before.
You gotta eat that one. What you think it's what? Cool to what? To tap and kidnap your own cousin?
You say you don't know the scene.
Eat that one there. You can imagine that. I swear. Cool. Say that.
Yeah, that's my good. that's my good bridge. And still, and that, those moments are difficult to play, right? Because like, we are good bridges, right? So to play like
enemies,
something cousins but enemies. So it's difficult. But the story that I was gonna say was that like there was for me to even do that. There was a show in America that they wanted me to sign to the network exclusively. I'd been offered a show, and I really wanted to do Top Boy, and the network were just like not having it. And it was like life-changing though, like, and they were just like, no, you got to be exclusive to us, you can't do anything else.
For how long? For while you're filming or for like a period of time before and after?
Yes, yeah, for a period usually. So I think it's usually up until, I want to say, I think the rules have changed now, but it was like up until when you finish, like 12 months after, it's like a year after. While they wait to see if they pick up the option to do the second, the next season. But they want to keep you exclusively. Yeah? And sometimes they you just can't do anything else. And I wanted to do Top One. It was just like, nope. And this was another show. Yeah, a show that I've been offered out there. And it was just like, nope. And I was like, there was the big bag there. And then I was just like, fuck it. I told them I want to do Top Boy. So I just said, nah. Like, I just turned it all down. Right. So I could do Top Boy. And my agents were like, are you sure? Like, proper dough. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah. And then I was just like, that show is culturally important. And I want to, and yeah, I have to do it. It's the first season on Netflix, not the previous ones, the one on Netflix. I was just like, it's just culturally important. And that's what I'm like. I just pick stuff now. And listen, that is a privileged place to be in, yeah? To be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But I just do things that's culturally important to me. So I did, told them no. And then I told Subway, yeah, cool. And then they come back around. The people who said exclusive, they said, okay, you can be exclusive to us. And then in my contract, it literally says, with the exception of the Netflix series Top Boy. So I was able to do...
You see what's mad about that?
Sometimes you got to say
my,
no, man.
My mum would say, what's made for you will be for you.
Yeah.
You know, them Nigerian ones, you get me? It's true, bro.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
That's mad.
Bro, that's sick.
Yeah. So,
but it was, though, because I feel like you were flying the flag in the US.
Yeah.
So eyes here might not see everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas that kind of shone a light here as well, as in like, yo, Bashy's, you know, he's Bashy, isn't he?
Mm.
So we kind of saw like, okay, and yeah.
Yeah, well, make people be like, him? Okay, what's he up to? Oh, shit, he's been doing all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, so then we'll go to them. Them, I've been offered another show like NYPD Blue, something like that. NYPD Blue, yeah. I'd shot a pilot for NYPD Blue. They were going to do this reboot. So we shot this pilot. And then we were waiting to see if it's going to get picked up. So people who don't know, you shoot a pilot and then some shows go straight to series. And then some shows you shoot a pilot, then the network wait and see if they're going to make the show in its entirety. Mm. And so I had NYPD Blue and we were waiting for the pickup and then the opportunity for them came up. And then what happened? Then them were interested. And then I seen Lena Waif. We got Lena and she was just like, yo, man, I know you signed to do that, man, but you need to do like them. And to be honest, I wasn't even going to fly out and do them because I filmed like a audition tape here. And then I'd done a screen test here. And they were like, yeah, we love him. He's got to come to America to do a screen test. And I didn't want to get on the plane because maybe 3 months earlier, 4 months earlier, something like that. I had auditioned for, and we're going to go back to your point after about what's meant for you is meant for you, right? There was a show that Oprah was producing and I was like, this is my chance to like work with Oprah, like, and I didn't get it. I flew all the way to LA for a screen test. I got down to the last two, boom. Didn't get it. Bravo, I was crushed. Like, put all this effort in, just learned the stuff, done all this prep, was ready, did the screen test, felt like I killed it, didn't get it. And then, so then when it came to doing them, and they were like, wanted to fly me out for the screen test, I didn't want to go because I'd had that
negative experience.
Bearing in mind, my hit rate or like most jobs that I go for and I get down to that final stage, like,
I get it.
Yeah. I focus in and the universe has blessed me and I've got it. But that moment, it's kind of like it derailed all the other stuff in my mind to me. Like, I just felt negative. Didn't want to go. Was saying, no, I don't want to go. I'm not coming. Then my mum, I think I was still living at my mum's them times because I was spending a lot of time in America coming back. So still at my mum's. And then she was like, why aren't you going? You're going, man. And then because my mum told me, you're going, then I had to really think, like, why am I not going? It's because I was scared. Oh, actually, I got fear from the rejection the last time. Once I identified that it was fear, then I said, fuck it. I hopped on the plane. I said, yeah, cool, man. Tell them, book it. Sunday, I'm coming. Then I went out there, boom, auditioned, did the screen test. And then the next day, they told me, yeah, it's yours. And then went through the process of filming that. But yeah, that was a mad show.
What's the screen test for everyone like this? This listening is like, what is a screen test? So you go there, you get the script, then what do you act out a particular scene?
Yeah, so they'll give you like, they might give you 4 scenes, 5 scenes, and then they'll tell you to prepare it.
Okay.
Yeah. Might be some of the scenes that you audition for the first time, but then you'll go into a room, it'll be like maybe a bit bigger than this. Could be big, could be a big room actually, like big, like auditorium. And then like loads of people are in there. It's like head of this network, head of marketing, head of this person, director, writer, producer. They just all sat there. You come in and then you do the scenes with the other actor. Yeah. And then, yeah, whether you get it or you don't. So it's mad as well, because I think what people don't know is you sign the contract before you
even do all this.
Yeah. So you see the deal.
Oh, so if you don't get it, that's when I'll get in that. I'll be fuming.
Yeah.
Because you something in your head, you might have already spent it, or you're thinking, oh, what can I use that money for? Did you get an email saying, or
the phone call, it's a phone call, it's a phone call.
Oh, the phone call?
It's always a phone call.
That Nigerian man, what's the phone call?
But that's how it was.
You can't tell no one until you've actually gone past that process then.
What, that you got it?
Yeah. No, you've even got a gig, essentially. Because you might not get it.
Have you got NDAs and all that?
I would never.
No, but I'm talking about like, even like family.
Nah, yeah, I would never. Yeah. I don't really. Maybe my mum or someone I'm really close to, I might say, bruv, this is...
Can't trust your uncle, blood.
This is going on. This got this opportunity. Like them, innit? Tell my mum. She's like, okay, cool. And then so she told me to go out there. I flew out there, audition, did the screen test, boom. Got it. Life-changing. Like life-changing. Different. It's and that sick, put me man. In a different place after that. Because now, leading on shows, it's different. And a strong performance that's, you know, had some critical acclaim. And,
yeah. It was a big show. Yeah. That show rippled as well. Like, it traveled.
Yeah.
It was just that one scene. I just don't know where you tapped into to...
Which one?
The scene when you're on the roof and the white man's chatting rubbish to you. You look to him like, big man, if I get off this roof.
I don't know.
I felt that scene there.
What did I feel?
You had to tap into something.
Yeah, I'm in the character anyway. Most of the time, listen, I'm really dedicated. Anything that I do, whether it's acting, music, I am dedicated. Mm. Like 100%. I give everything my all. So when I'm being the character, like, I've done the work, the prep, the research, everything. I've tried to be as prepared as possible. And then when I get to this set, forget everything. So it's just embedded in me and then do the scenes. But that, yeah, I had to tap into something, I believe, ancestral, man. But like, yeah, it felt like, nah, man, I have to, some of it is like in the character. And then I'm human, right? So sometimes it comes
a lot.
I'm knowing that now, man. Like, there's a whole nation of people that look like me around the world that are going to watch this scene, and I need to
nail it, bro.
Represent in that moment.
And also watching it get you, as a black person, get you mad.
But I was angry, bro.
Brother, I'm
like,
girl in my ass, I'm even talking to her. I'm on the edge of the bed like this. Like, yes, nah, man. I'm fuming.
Big up Deborah Ayurinde as well, man.
Like, yeah.
She was.
I met her in the house. Like, remember that?
I was with you that day.
Yeah, that day.
Yeah.
Was it me and Rich?
I was there, man. You got pictures to get, but don't do me like that.
Oh, you got some pictures, yeah?
No, I didn't mean this guy.
Oh,
what was you wearing?
Nah, you weren't there that day. I'm telling you. Nah, you weren't there that day. This was the Comedy Central day.
Why are you lying, bro?
What?
When it the thing that we wore suits, Mo's party.
No, man.
Oh, okay. Cool.
This was a day of Comedy Central when I done the screening, and then we went to Soho House, literally across the road. So all the cast was there, and that's the first time I met her.
Okay, that's my homie, man. Yeah. Talented as well, man.
Who's you say?
Blessed, man.
You are now listening to the Three Shots of Tequila podcast with Marv Abbey, Mr. Exposed, and Taser Black.